Spy Hunter. Welcome once again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 116. Kenny, Nolan, have you heard of this new game craze? It's called Getting Over It.
No.
Yeah, but have no clue what it is. I've only heard the name.
All right, so Kenny, you may have seen images or something. Let me describe it and see if you've seen something about it. It's a game it's one of those games that's meant to punish. Like, it's created for those that love to suffer. And in fact, it's the same guy who created Quap. Do you remember that Flash game?
Oh gosh, yeah. Where you're running and you control each limb.
You control like every like part of this guy, and you don't have to run far, but to get him to run successfully, it's near impossible before he falls over.
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, well, that same guy.
He
created a game, and they actually released it as like in Steam and everything. It's unbelievably frustrating. Picture this: it's this man that is holding this huge sledgehammer who is sitting in a cauldron, and you use the mouse to control the hammer swings to climb up mountains and various things to get very, very high.
Wait, so he's sitting in a cauldron that he stays in as he's climbing.
Yeah, yeah.
Why he's using a sledgehammer?
He's using a hammer to do that, and the game is all about, like, you know, momentum and being able to make those precise movements and connect the hammer and use the weight of your character to swing. It's absolutely ridiculous. And
it while sounds that's happening, terrible.
While that's happening, you've got the, like, soothing music playing, and then you've got that a voice that's, you know, every once in a while is saying something snarky to you or talking about life or reading a quote to you. It's ridiculous.
I'm gonna have to check it out, but I'm already over it. I don't need to play that.
Yeah, nope. I don't need that business in my life. Frustrating games make me crazy.
Well, a guy just recently beat it in under 2 minutes, and immediately upon doing so, you can go on and find his stream of him doing it, the video of him doing it. He goes into his Steam library and uninstalls the game.
Oh, gosh.
That's awesome.
So you can beat it?
Yeah. So if you get high enough,
it's
one of those things that I respect, because if you get high enough, you launch yourself off into space
one of those games that's only fun if you get high enough.
Drugs, dude. What's up? Snoken?
The pun was there.
And if you get high enough, you throw yourself off the top of the mountain peak and you ascend into space, and a screen comes up saying that if you're playing alone, feel free to watch the end. But if you are streaming this game, please don't play this end and spoil it for everyone else.
Do you think anyone spoiled it?
I'm sure someone it has, because there's a lot of idiots in this world. But I think the majority of people I've watched play it have always clicked out of that screen.
Okay. Huh. I gotta check it out, maybe.
They only click out because they want everybody else to have to suffer. If the game's that hard, the only reason to click out is to make people feel like they're gonna earn that end screen by themselves, which simply means they're wanting to share their suffering.
Too deep.
Too deep. Let's share our suffering and talk about those high speeds and precise controls that were our problem in our retro game of the week, Spy Hunter.
Overview.
Spy Hunter.
Wait, what was that jingle to?
I don't know, but it sounded like you had auto-tune on your voice. Do you have auto-tune as a button, Dustin?
That'd be awesome.
That would be so annoying. Just throw on auto-tune every once in a while.
Did you guys not hear that, Nolan?
It's a Kanye panic button. No, I think your connection's off.
Oh, it must have lagged a little bit, because it went way digitized for me, and it sounded like he was, trying to T-paint it.
Nope, just my normal, beautiful singing voice.
Spy Hunter is a Spy vehicular Hunter. Combat game that we played this week, and it was ported to the NES and DOS and Commodore 64 and some other stuff, but it originated as an arcade game. I played the NES version this week as it was most accessible. It came out in 1983, and it was published and developed by Midway, and I guess at the time they were called Bally Midway, but we know them as Midway nowadays. It is a top-down view of a car, and you shoot and hit cars. The theme of it, as you can tell by the name, is an espionage kind of theme that was originally supposed to be James Bond. Like, the game was supposed to be James Bond. That's what it was going to be called, but I think they couldn't get the licensing for that. Or the James Bond
that's
people
gotta be expensive,
saw that.
Right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like reading about this game and how it was developed, I was just kind of thinking that's a pretty ambitious thing to just be like, "Hey, we have a game. Just give us your title real quick."
I feel like that's what happened. They started creating a game, and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna be able to get James Bond super easy,
so easy." Star Wars, maybe not, but James Bond, easy.
Yeah.
No, like. Anyways, it's not called James Bond. It has no association with James Bond, but it's supposed to be a spy game. But the only way you can really tell that it's a spy game is from the title and the cover, which is like a dude that has a pistol and then a girl in spandex suit. You know, like
I mean,
that's
every good
it.
Like Bond movie had the classic car chase. And bad guys and having to drive fast and not run into things and run people off the road and avoid being shot. Like, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say the name is fitting enough.
I don't know. If you didn't have the title, then it's just a car game, which that's fine on its own. I don't know. It just doesn't get communicated in gameplay. So that's Spy Hunter. And there's not much else to it. It's a pretty fast-paced game. And actually, there was a arcade cabinet that had the wheel and the pedals and stuff for this, which was surprising to me. And they also had the stand-up.
I think this would be even more fun to play it with pedals and a wheel.
See,
I don't know if it would. Yeah, see, there's not much. See, when I think of arcade with pedal and a wheel, I'm thinking cruising games, right? Cruising USA, Cruising World. Those games,
yeah.
I feel like are you get so much more benefit out of playing with a, you know, in an arcade, in an upright cockpit. With this game, it's like way overhead view. It's limited graphics, limited road space. you wouldn't have much more to do with a cockpit.
Yeah, for a sit down behind the wheel game, I picture more of your view of the game is from a cockpit or from behind the car.
Yeah, behind.
Like a third person view of the car.
Like,
not
true top down.
Yeah, it was. I probably wouldn't have liked that version of the cabinet.
I'd still prefer it that way, but I can see the arguments for sure.
Well, I did not use a wheel this week. I just used my controller.
Oh, yeah.
We do need to specify. Kenny, did you play with a wheel and arcade system this week?
No, I played on an original NES while driving down the freeway.
So
that's why I wanted
stupid.
The wheel. Yeah. It okay. feels more... No, yeah, I played on NES.
Okay. You're trying to... make a joke. Sorry, didn't follow. But was this a game that either of you played in the arcade growing up at all?
Never heard of it.
Not that I recall, but it's one of those that when it came up and you heard the music and saw the gameplay, it felt really familiar. So I'm not certain, but maybe.
It was one that I didn't know by title, but it was one that I was very familiar with. I'd played it many times growing up.
Yeah,
it's been a
I
long
feel
time.
Like Dustin has more familiarity
arcade,
with arcade games.
With
than
arcade
I do.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I was again in an arcade last night, thought about taking some pictures of some of the games, putting it up on the Discord, but there weren't too many good ones, but they did have the original Ninja Turtles one.
Such a good game.
Such a good game. Four player.
Mm-hmm.
Gameplay.
So I want to start off the gameplay section of Spy Hunter, not Ninja Turtles, by the way, by saying something very important that I think should frame our conversation here.
Okay.
This game is way too hard.
Yeah, it's so fast. The reason it's hard for me you can't see what's about to come onto the screen at all. Like, it's too late by the time you see what's there. Every single time, whether it's a car or a puddle or, like, I don't know. It's so fast.
It's really hard, but because you can adjust your speed, because there's ways to deal with the enemies and everything else, it doesn't feel impossibly hard to me. It just feels like the kind of game that you would have to play more of to actually get good at than anyone wants to put into a repetitive arcade kind of game.
But the speed change is so abrupt. It's not even helpful.
It's so drastic.
Hard. I just don't think, like, impossibly so.
But the thing that bothers me, and I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, is that in a game such as this, I think that it's created to go fast. I feel like it's created to go fast. And if I'm in a sports car as a spy hunter or a spy trying to escape these enemies that keep coming after me, I want to go fast. But in this game, to be successful, you've got to go slower. And it feels like counterintuitive to what it should feel like. You're not rewarded by going fast. You're penalized. Right. You're rewarded by points, but you're penalized by deaths.
Right. In theory, you should want to go as fast as you can, because that's the most efficient way to earn points, which is the only point of this game. I think that's worth talking about.
There's no ending.
Right. It's just a never-ending loop where you're trying to rack up the high score and not have died.
Well, there's some theories that the game does end out there on the internet. I stumbled across some when I was researching.
They're simply telling you that to get you to play for days and days straight.
I think some people are convinced. But yeah, it's... That's one problem I have with it. But back to the controls, because I don't want us to undersell them, how bad they are. Like, I need a fluid movement if I'm playing a car game, especially a top-down car game where I'm shooting stuff. It needs to be fluid. Like, you do need to feel like you're going fast. But, like, in this one, it is so drastic. The change from the gears, quote-unquote, all it is just slowing your car down. It's like it breaks up the gameplay, makes it super choppy. And then, like, for me, that's such a problem. I need a fluid gameplay.
Acceleration and deceleration is pretty harsh. I don't like not calling it fluid, though, because this game does a good job of being responsive. Like, the controls are tight. What you're doing, you're seeing good reaction to. It just is very quick how you accelerate and decelerate.
Well, it's not even close to quote-unquote natural, like what natural deceleration and acceleration is.
It feels like a game. It doesn't feel like you're driving a car.
Then why'd they make a wheel cabinet?
Well, when you play games of realism, you want to feel realism to some degree. I mean, when you're playing most driving games, old ones or new ones, you're going to get some kind of realistic acceleration and deceleration, not top speed on a dime and then completely stopped on a dime.
No, I do think that was a poor point in the game. I think I just was shying away from Nolan making it sound like the controls weren't, like, good. They're great. They function well. Like, accelerating, decelerating, once you learn it, it does it every time. You have control of it. Like they did it well. They just made it way too harsh. I don't know. I think it was more a not what he was saying, just I didn't want the wrong impression of this game coming across. Because it's well done. It's just punishingly difficult.
All right, I want you to be able to follow along with us if you're listening. So either pull up on your smart device or in a browser and just type in Spy Hunter Arcade or whatever, just so you can kind of see what we're looking at screen-wise. So it's directly top-down. You are this red sports car, and you are driving up on the screen. On this narrow road, you've got a dirt path on either the left or the left and the right, and then you've got kind of like greenery trees. The scenery changes a little bit as you cross over bridges a few times throughout your run, if you get that far. And either from on the top or on the bottom, new vehicles come into the screen. Now, my initial response is to just I found that I've got a machine gun with infinite bullets, and so I'm just trying to destroy everything that comes my way until I realized that I get penalized.
All.
Your score counter freezes for a few seconds when you kill civilians. So you don't want to just unload your missiles all over everybody. You want to reserve your bullets for those you hate most.
It's kind of a practical issue too, because if you're trying to shoot enemies, I feel like you're not spending as much time dodging enemies or knocking them off the road. Like, those are the more efficient ways to get through the game.
It's not clear who is an enemy at first when you start the game. It's just like,
no, but you learn that quickly, and there are a kind of nice variety of enemies for such a simple game. Can we talk about those?
There's blue cars, long ones and not long ones.
Wait, blue?
They look bluish on my screen. I think they're supposed to be black.
They look black on my screen.
Oh, yeah, they look bluish to me.
But oh, maybe it's me.
I don't know. Either way, you have one car that's bulletproof.
Ting, ting,
yeah,
ting,
like
ting.
You shoot it and it just tink, tinks. That was a Kenny, great impression.
Which you did a first play this week and you said, oh, that car is made of metal.
Yeah, Kenny, someone in the comments said something about
Kenny.
That.
Kenny?
Well, it's made
all
of metal.
All cars are made of metal.
No, like special bulletproof metal.
Kenny?
The implication was
that.
There.
You just said metal.
That car has wheels.
It made the tink tink noise. It was clearly made of metal.
It was a tink.
So you have the bulletproof
sure.
metal car.
Okay.
The tink tink.
All the other cars are made of like wood or rubber, but you have a limousine that pulls up next to you and tries to shoot you out the window. Like it shoots a gun at you.
Yeah.
You have a person inside. Right.
Your limo's not just like trying to.
You don't know. Maybe it's
AI. A Tesla auto driving limo that shoots.
Exactly.
Guns.
We're a spy hunter. It might be next gen tech.
There's a helicopter that drops bombs on you.
Uh huh.
And not only does the bomb have the potential to hit you, but it creates craters that if you
that
drive
you can
into,
run into
it, destroys your car.
There's a car that shoots spikes out of its wheels and runs into you.
Again, I don't know about as much as shooting spikes out, but it's got those spikes.
It pops them
wheels.
Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
They stay attached to that car.
Right. But like they're not there and then they're there.
Yeah.
There's some just normal cars that you have to just avoid. There's some motorcycles that you have to just avoid. And then there's some trucks.
That you can get on.
Yeah.
Those are enemies.
Is hard when you're going fast, but then when you realize that you can just come to a complete stop, and if there's no enemies on the screen, I don't think they come back on the screen until you start moving again, so you can kind of easily line yourself up with the truck and then ride up its rear.
That idea of like going full speed down the highway and driving onto a truck is so cool in my mind.
But
that's the moves that make this game in my mind justify the Spy Hunter name. Like this driver is next level.
Well, why would you want to drive up in a truck?
It's because it's an awesome truck, and it's not just any truck. It's a weapons truck. And so your car gets upgraded, retrofitted, sure, with better weapons, depending on which truck you're driving into. And so when it drops you back off, you then have the ability to do really cool stuff, to drop oil behind you, to slick other cars.
That is what makes it a spy
game. Screen behind
you
to make all the other cars get lost.
The oil slick.
To upgrade and give you missiles to take care of those pesky helicopters when they come. I think that's it. Am I forgetting anything?
Kenny, why are you selling this game like it's so good? Everything you said about it sounds like so defensive.
You are hyping this up.
There's some really positive things about how they made this game. I'm with you. I think it's punishingly difficult. But there's some good elements to this game. There really are.
You're not even sure yourself. What score did you get? Let's talk about that. What's y'all's high score?
Okay, I wasn't good at this game.
I have no idea. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I do appreciate. Unlike most games, in period, but especially arcade games, unlike those, you've got in this game a grace period. So you've got a counter at the bottom of your screen that counts down from the moment you start moving, and you have infinite lives until that grace period is over. So it gives you a little bit of time to adjust to the controls, to figure out what you're doing. You can get pretty far during that short amount of time. But then as soon as grace period ends, you only have one life. So I got to play, at least I didn't die, you know, I didn't get a game over right away. But as soon, unless you've gotten a certain amount of points, you only have one life after the grace period ends. And so the first time you run into one of those pesky motorcycles, or you run off the road, or you, you know, get shot by the limousine, then it's game over. It's not like you pick up at where you left off, which doesn't even matter because there's no end to the game anyways. So you just get a game over and you start back over. So
which
I have no idea
that, like, you, like me, most of you guys' games were probably what, like 1,015 game seconds long?
1,015 game
seconds.
Yeah,
you start with 999.
Oh, and so you finish the 1,000 game period and then you play
and
for
then
just
I
a
last
few
for
more
about
games.
Another 15 seconds. Yep.
Well, then I guess my question is, if you were dying so much, how did you end up kind of enjoying it?
Oh, I never said I enjoyed this game. I just said there were some really good things about it.
Okay.
There's some really clever design decisions. I think it was well made. I think it reacts quickly and does what it's supposed to do. I think some of the sound effects and music and things were on point. But, like, this game was frustratingly difficult. From a gameplay perspective, it is punishingly hard, and you would have to get really good at the game before you started enjoying it. And I don't think anyone wants to put in the time that it would take to get to that level.
I wish there would have been bosses or something.
Yeah, I feel like there could have been even just, yeah, a few additions that that would even make it so even if you're not going to change up the handling, which I think is one of the biggest problems, if they would have added just a few things to be checkpoints, which you have in racing games a lot, or bosses, which you can have in vehicle combat games, something like that. But all you've got here is just an endless, and I know it's an early game, right? 83, but I feel like you could have done something.
Yeah.
I expected checkpoints. When I saw the timer counting down, I thought I had to get so far to then get more time or to unlock something. And so that was the expectation I had, maybe just because other car games do it so much. But it took me a while to realize it was this whole, I can die and die, but when I get past this, I die and then it's over. It never communicates that.
Here's my biggest issue with the game. I've said it in a few different ways, but I'll come out and say it like this. There's not... really an ideal middle ground speed that keeps you moving away from enemies fast enough, but it's still slow enough to maneuver around the neutral vehicles. And you can't find that sweet spot. So for me, I'm either going entirely too fast, which leads to my death, or I'm going way too slow that it's not fun at all.
Right.
And
even
try
then
to find
it leads
that,
to your death because you get swarmed by enemies and you can't like make it far enough.
Yeah, so to find the middle ground was the game, and finding a middle ground speed is not that fun of a game to me, especially when there's no payoff or end or any kind of progression.
Right.
Aged.
Well, the game's so bare bones, especially for the NES, it's like I really need to go off of gameplay in order to help me determine like how it's aged. So and the music for me here was nothing that I cared about. It was pretty repetitious. So like
I enjoyed the music. I thought for early arcade it was
I think it's what you want for an arcade game.
Yeah.
Arcade games are going to be repetitive musically, and so you at least want it to sound good and not to be piercing or not to be too redundant long enough so that when it loops, at least it's something. And for such a short game and so many deaths, I think the song is
kind of worked
bad.
For it. Yeah, I thought so too.
I didn't get that. I mean, I that's a good point about arcade games needing to be good because they are repetitious just by nature. I just didn't like it. And in fact, I think that song was from a TV show or a movie, but
I know that they wanted the James Bond theme song and that was their plan, but then it didn't work. So then they settled, quote unquote, for this composer who did the Pink Panther theme song and who did like the soundtrack or a song from Breakfast at Tiffany's. He's won a Grammy. Like he's actually super quality.
Oh, that's, well, that's, I'm sure they felt good about settling for him, but they deep down really wanted that James Bond song.
Sure, they wanted that James Bond song.
Yeah, so.
It's, okay, it's Peter Gunn. That's what the music was. It's from a show called
arrangement of Henry Mancini's theme.
Okay.
Whatever that, yeah. No, I mean, Henry is the guy that did it to Peter Gunn.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
but they definitely wanted that James Bond, the James Bond.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Wait.
But they didn't, and just don't say anything, Ken. It's just, okay, so the music, not there for me. Really, it comes down to, like, this game was so choppy and unplayable. Like, so that's kind of the age factor for me.
So for you, it's kind of just handling in the first place.
Yeah, it was handling.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Kenny can't get over the Batman
guys,
theme.
That was so Batman. Funny to me. It was stupid, but it was so funny. James Bond.
Shut up. That's not.
I'm going to be singing James that all night.
That sums up how this game aged. It's not James Bond or Batman.
No, graphics, though, do you think for the arcade and for the early systems that they work?
The arcade graphics look pretty good, actually.
Yeah, yeah, the arcade.
The NES kind of suffers, I think.
Yeah, of the ports, I think it did it the best, but the arcade was definitely prettier. It did what it needed to. This is one of those games you kind of want just sort of fast twitch, reactionary. You're not thinking and strategizing. You need it to just be clear. And the cars were different colors. And as the road changed sizes, that was all obvious. It wasn't like super aesthetically pleasing, but it worked for what it was trying to accomplish gameplay-wise, I think.
See, I agree with you that it needs to be very clear with a game designed this way that's so fast-paced, but I don't think it was. Those cars were just cars, and they drove up next to you, and it was just – they needed like a skull and crossbones on them or something. It needed to be very clear, and it wasn't to me.
Give it like props, later on you go like to a snow theme, and everything is like really white. And then the helicopters are still white and pretty much are completely washed out. So there's places that they did it really, really badly. Unless they were like intending that to be camouflage. Like there were places that it was poor. But the main look and the fact that it changed sort of natures as you drove through it was kind of all right to me.
Changed natures?
Yeah, the scenery around you swapped.
Natures.
If you can't get enough of Spy Hunter, I think there's like a Spy Hunter 2. There's some other, they even kind of reprised the series, I think, in 2001 with a game for PlayStation 2, Xbox, I don't know why, like there's not much content there to be able to reboot a series, but
just a reboot, like, right. They got Dwayne The Rock Johnson to come on and do the motion graphics for it, like wear the suit and do the voice acting. And there was supposed to be a movie that he would be in based on the game.
The movie that never happened, but they were
trying. It got stuck in production hell and never came out.
This was right
in
the middle.
Which is probably where it belongs.
Right, this is right in the middle of all the Fast and Furious movies being so popular. And so I get why they would like pull this out from the like, hey, classic 80s, you know.
But you should go look and read the history of the movie and how many times it failed. There's like 20 different writers that have been on board, quote unquote.
It got rewritten 19 times. Yeah.
But they stuck with Dwayne The Rock Johnson for a large portion of it until they just weren't going to do it anymore.
Which is not a bad idea. If I was making a movie, I'd ask him to get on board.
Well, you know, just keep your fingers crossed if you're a big Spy Hunters fan. Maybe one day The Rock will star in your favorite movie based off of a video game.
Where he shoots other metal cars and it goes ting, ting, ting,
ting, ting, ting, ting.
Final thoughts.
So, do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? That is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It's what we do at the end of each and every episode to determine whether or not this game gets our fabled New Game Plus certification. It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. I'll begin by just saying Spy Hunter is a game that I do not like, but that is definitely to be respected as an arcade classic. I would probably put it up there with Frogger in the sense that it's got some great retro feel, that there are some good characteristics about the game. I like that it's simple to understand, but it might be way too difficult to master. And so I appreciate that it is so easy to play with all of its ports today, and you can find it virtually anywhere with being released as, you know, Midway's greatest arcade hits and on various compilations and different things like that, also on Steam as well. However, I do not think that it is one that everyone should play. I think it's just too limited in scope, and I do not give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
I generally agree with you, Dustin. I don't think this game deserves quite as much flack as I felt like Nolan was maybe giving it. I think Arcade Classic is fair for sure. I think they made it pretty well. I think for a quick twitch reflex, you got to be on your toes kind of game, it does okay. But my big thing is that it is just too punishingly difficult, and therefore wasn't as much fun for me to play this week as I was hoping it would be. So no New Game Plus for me.
For the reasons already stated, I don't give it New Game Plus either. I think it's bad. I don't think it's an arcade classic. And I give it two Roger Ebert thumbs down. A Batman James Bond movie is more likely to come out than a Spy Hunter movie. Ooh, never play it.
Batman James Bond.
How would the theme go?
It would go dun da da dun 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 Batman and Robin.
You ruined the joke. You ruined the joke.
No, that was the perfect. I was trying to think of it myself. I'm glad he did it.
Thanks.
Well, Spy Hunter does not get our New Game Plus status. Maybe it gets yours, and if it does, find a copy of it and play it. But for us, we are going to put this game to rest, and we're going to move on to a different game, which we'll do shortly. Want to know what your thoughts are on this game? Send us your thoughts. Tweet out to us this week. Let us know if you enjoyed Spy Hunter as a kid or if you played it this week with us and enjoyed it. We did have one person writing, Ken, not to be confused with our Ken, said, "This is not an easy game. The key is finding the right mixture of speed and slow. Drive and burst with brake on a dime flicking. Hardest part is not running into the wreckage that you create. But once you get the hang of it, you feel like Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan. Thanks for the podcast, guys." Goodbye, Spy Hunter. Hello, new game. Thank you guys for submitting games to the Retro Master list. It is a large list that is almost daily, if not hourly, being added to. That's far from the truth. But yeah. There are a lot of games on this list. The only stipulation is that the game is 15 years old or older. Any console, any genre, any era of gaming, and we would love to play it at some point, or loathe to play it. Either way, we promise to provide you some good podcast content for your listening ears. It is time to randomize the next retro game of the week. Doing so now. A 1995, get it, arcade game. Wow. That was published and developed by Midway in 1990.
Wait, no way.
12 years later?
The first version of it came out in 1993. This version that we're going to play came out in 1995. I know it's really close to the game that we just played. That's what happens with the Retro Master list. But from downtown, and he's on fire, we are going to be playing NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
Heck yes. I had this game growing up on the Genesis, and I loved it. You shatter the backboard?
We haven't played many sports games so far, and so that's kind of exciting.
We played that one made-up sports game. Do you remember? Speedball.
And we did Snowboard Kids or whatever it was called.
Y'all two did, yeah.
Yeah.
So NBA Jam, great classic from when I was a kid. It was ported to different versions. Thankfully, you didn't have to just go to the arcade to play it. The Tournament Edition was also released in arcades. I think it's pretty much just updated rosters. It's got some new features. It's the same gameplay as the original, but just kind of updated just a little bit with a new group of people that you can play. Maybe even some new hidden characters. You remember you could put in those codes at the beginning to play as some of the characters.
Is this the game where if you were playing well, your character like caught on fire, like it burns Okay, wait, I played this game a little bit.
Your shoes light up if you hold the turbo buttons. Oh,
and it does the Tarzan scream when you do that dunk, that really tall dunk.
So good. So find a copy of NBA Jam Tournament Edition specifically. Play along with us this week, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
In Discord, where we reside, along with our listeners, go to our Twitter. There is a link that it will give you a free invite to our Discord. You don't even have to install the program if you don't want. It'll take you to a browser version, but you can install. It's a good program. It's what we use to chat. So join us in our Discord, and we'll be talking about NBA Jam.
Special thanks to all of you who support our podcast through Patreon. Our patrons give of their money, not just of their ears, and so we give them a little bit of special recognition. Thanks to all of you guys, especially our producer-level supporters, Gimbarino, Bradley, and Zion. We appreciate it.
We really do. You guys are amazing. You can find us on social media this week, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube as well. We've got a YouTube channel where we upload some video content as well as some Let's Plays. I'm currently doing some Ocarina of Time that's updated every Tuesday. Nolan has done some Dark Souls, and both of those are blind playthroughs, so make sure to come and watch us experience these games for the very first time. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider. Make sure that you do subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. Leave a kind rating and review. That would help us tremendously. Thank you, Tom Tate, for editing and producing this specific episode. Join us next week as we play NBA Jam Tournament Edition. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus.
James Bond.
Spy Hunter.